What's going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Aux, and I'm excited to bring you a new monologue today, because that's really what these solo episodes are. They are an extended monologue to indulge myself, and that is what I love about these solo deep dives, as opposed to the conversations, is that it allows me to practice and express my thoughts and talk about things that are fun for me, and hopefully they're fun for you too. I selfishly get into the topics that I've been thinking about the last week. And as a byproduct, I hope that that interest comes off to you as interesting. So without further ado, let's get into it. The first thing that I'm talking about this time on the Aux is the Travis Scott incident down in Houston that Andrew Schultz dubbed as Disastro World. And this was very, there's a lot of shit that came out about it. And I tried to avoid listening to people's takes on the situation so that I could do this in real time and go through one of the main articles that came out about it, which I'm about to go through in the New York Times. I saw, you know, tons of YouTube videos. It was tempting to go through those, and I avoided almost all of the takes. I did watch some videos on Twitter about the actual event and seeing the fucked up shit that was going on at the concert and people being carried out and, you know, Travis Scott watching on stage and really trying to get a grasp for what went on at this concert and watching first person footage rather than listen to other people's takes, because I didn't really want that to fill my head before the episode. And so I'm going to give you my takes now based off of this New York Times article that dives into the Disastro World incident. So without further ado, let's get into the first topic of the day. So this is an article called No Way Out. This is titled No Way Out in the New York Times, A Sudden Life and Death Struggle at a Houston Concert. Eight people died at Travis Scott's Astro World Festival, and hundreds more were injured as investigators sought to determine why and how a surging crowd turned deadly. Houston. Panic and then desperation spread through the crowd of 50,000, mostly young people, just as the popular hometown rapper they had come to see, Travis Scott, took the stage Friday night. It came like a wave, an unstoppable movement of bodies that could not be held back. Some collapsed, others fought for air. Concertgoers lifted up the unconscious bodies of friends and strangers and surfed them over the top of the crowd, hoping to send them to safety. Others shouted out for help with CPR and pleaded for the concert to stop. So right off the bat, this sounds like it sounds like you're describing a natural disaster, passing bodies, like there was just an earthquake or tsunami that passed through. And I've been to concerts before that have gotten rowdy. I've been, you know, on the floor section of Wiz Khalifa concerts back when I was in high school, when he was first coming up in New York City, and those theaters got pretty fucking crazy. I know heavy metal concerts, a lot of concerts that are more alternative rock, heavy metal, get crazy with mosh pits. I've never been in a mosh pit before, but I've seen videos. Those get fucking brutal. And Travis Scott has a reputation for, I don't want to say inciting riots, but he definitely does not discourage people from getting extremely rowdy during his concerts. It's kind of his rage mindset, is that we're going to concerts to have a good time. We're letting loose physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, probably getting fucked up, probably taking drugs. And so when I'm first reading this, this sounds like a little natural disaster situation where people can't get to help and they're passing bodies over bodies. And right away, the crowd surfing image from the beginning of this article, I am thinking about how crowd surfing is normally such a a joyous, exciting thing. I was, you know, the first time I ever saw a crowd surf in person was when I was at Lollapalooza back in 2017. And it's exciting. Even if you aren't someone who's facilitating the actual surfing through the crowd, you can see everyone's pumped up. You're carrying an artist or a fan to the crowd. I saw a video of DaBaby doing it, and it looks, you know, fucking epic. I would 100% do that with security if I was an artist. I would jump to the crowd, have people catch me, surf around, come back. I think most people are good people, and they want to be part of the fun. And so that image kind of put up against this horrific, you know, you're not crowd surfing because you're trying to engage with your fans or trying to have a good time, but you're crowd surfing because you're trying to pass bodies as quickly as possible to the people who are trying to help them, and people pleading for the concert to stop. And I'll bring up multiple videos that kind of show that footage on Twitter that went super viral. But first, let's keep going with the article. So others shouted out for help with CPR and pleaded for the concert to stop. It kept going. In the end, 8 people died, ranging in age from 14 to 27, according to city officials. Hundreds more were treated for injuries at a field hospital at the concert venue, the NRG Park in Houston, or at local hospitals. Among those treated at a hospital was a 10-year-old child. Jesus Christ. So 8 people died. Damn, like, I understand people passing out and dehydrating at festivals. I've been in that environment before. And especially over the summer, it gets very hot. You're out for 3 or 4 days straight. But this wasn't that same thing. It didn't sound like that same thing. This sounded like a night thing with 50,000 people, which is a fuck ton of people. I read something that said it was built for 200,000, so it wasn't packed to the brim, but 50,000 people is a massive amount of fucking people. That is an MLB stadium full of people. That is a baseball venue, an entire fucking, you know, Citi Field or Yankee Stadium packed with people all at a concert. And, you know, I've been there when people have passed out at music festivals, but it does not sound like people were dying from passing out or dehydration. It sounds like, and it looked like, it was pressure, something pressure related, kind of getting squeezed at the front of the concert or getting squeezed by people and getting trampled by people. This sounds like impact injuries and suffocation injuries, which there is no excuse for at a concert, because a lot of times when people pass out or dehydrated, that's on them. The combination of heat and drugs and not being hydrated, that causes you to lose consciousness. But with people trampling over bodies and being squeezed and suffocated literally in the middle of a concert with no way to go, that is on the people performing. That is on the people organizing the concert. That is on event workers. And then also people in the crowd who put getting closer to the stage or raging over the value of people's lives. And there were a lot of people in the crowd that were screaming at Travis Scott and saying, you know, stop the concert, stop the fucking concert. Someone's dead. There are people dying. So there were, it seems like, dozens, if not hundreds of people trying to get the attention of anyone on stage. And so I don't want to make it seem like everyone was just running over bodies, because that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like there were a lot of people who genuinely were trying to help. And a 10-year-old child fucking died. That is tragic, but what do you do in bringing a 10-year-old to a Travis Scott concert? Through the late night, like, I don't know, 10 is too young for me for Travis Scott. I would say maybe 13, 14, 15, I might think about taking my kid to a Travis Scott concert, but fucking 10 years old, like, it's not even about the words and the curse words, because you're going to hear curse words when you're 10. It's more just the atmosphere of fucking, you know, people doing drugs, people drinking, everyone's fucked up. Things do not go well when you go to concerts at 10 years old. I don't think there's any way for that to end well. And I'm assuming this person was with parents, and that's absolutely tragic. But it's like if my kid really wanted to and he was 10 years old, I would play him Astroworld and put it on the record player in my living room, you know, dim the lights, put the Hue lights on behind me, set the mood, and, you know, we'd share a LaCroix and just vibe out to Travis Scott in the privacy of our own home, you know, with my kid. We're just bopping around, just like, trying to think of what's a good Travis Scott lyric to vibe out to. What's a good Travis Scott lyric to vibe out to right now? I'm like blanking out. I listen to Astroworld all the time when I go on walks, and I'm just like, I can't hear it in my head right now. Let's go. Goosebumps. How does that go? Do you ever get that where you know how you need to stop what you're doing to hear a song in your head and figure out the vibes? And I'm talking and I can't figure it out. I can't hear the song in my head right now. Yeah, I get those goosebumps every time. Yeah, you come around. Yeah, you ease my mind. You make everything feel fine. Worry about those comments. That's like me and my kid just bopping, sunglasses on, Philips Hue lights, smashing a mandarin or orange LaCroix, any other flavors, get the fuck out of here. And we're bopping around and we're getting buck wild. I'll rush the couch with my kid instead of rushing the stage. We can do a two-person mosh pit in my apartment at 10 years old, kind of prepare for the mosh pit, you know. We'll work our way up kind of in the gym. I'll throw some styrofoam padding on him. I'll tape some pillows around him, and we'll mosh and we'll practice, and we'll hit into each other, and he'll learn, you know, when you're in a mosh pit, everyone's out for themselves, which is an important lesson in life. In a mosh pit, everyone is out for themselves. You are going into that mosh pit, rushing in, wanting to have your own mosh experience, and everything else is an afterthought. And that is a good lesson to learn. I am 100% for kids learning how to mosh in a safe environment, in the safety of their own home or backyard, with some protective padding. And that is my duty as a father, just to teach my kid what happens at a concert when you don't train for it. And so he will train for Travis Scott like an ultimate ninja warrior. My son is going to have styrofoam, that packaging shit, and he's going to be taped all over him, and we're going to be fucking smashing into each other, and he'll learn. He'll be like, yo, if you don't throw that body, if you don't throw those hips right, you're going to get messed up. And I'm going to teach him that as my son. And he will be prepared when he's 15, 16 years old to go to a Travis Scott concert. But this kid was just, he was not ready. By Saturday, officials in Houston were at a loss to explain how the concert, part of the two-day Astroworld Music Festival. Okay, so this was a festival, 2 days, organized by Live Nation and Mr. Scott, had transformed in an instant from a celebration to a struggle for life. So too were those who had been at the outdoor concert, who described a thrust of the crowd that would not let up as Mr. Scott took the stage around 9 p.m. It was like hell, said Nick Johnson, 17, who had his concert bracelet on as he spoke on Saturday morning. Everybody was just in the back trying to push to the front. People were literally grabbing and pinching at my body, trying to get up from the ground, said Chris Lay, adding that he lost contact with his friends as he tried to make it out of the crowd. I was fighting for my life. There was no way out. I was fighting for my life. There was No Way Out. I mean, do people have to start doing tactical training before they go to a Travis Scott concert? Like before, like I actually shout out to Ludus Combat Club up in Plattsburgh, New York. I took a knife defense class in up in Plattsburgh, and we learned different maneuvers and techniques where you're grappling, you're hanging on to people, you're doing a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and you're learning how to defend someone who's trying to stab you with a knife, you know, over the top, wrist control. You don't let you always want to have control of the wrist that is holding the knife. And does Travis Scott and his group have to start sending out online Zoom courses how to defend yourself and how to take control and not die and not get stabbed and trampled at a concert? Like, it's just Travis Scott that comes on Zoom and he's like, all right, today class, we're going to learn the art of getting out from underneath a dog pile at a concert. The first thing you want to do is you want to create space for your breath. You want to create space for the air, and then you want to grab onto something you can use for leverage and climb through and get that first gulp of air, like, and then use that to carry you forward. Get oxygen, because once you don't have oxygen, your muscles stop working. Get that air. Like, this shit sounds so crazy that they should actually start sending preparations for Travis Scott concert. Like, I'm all for people getting rowdy at concerts as long as the protections are in play, which they obviously were not if 8 people died. But like, this is just the wording from this article. I was fighting for my life. People are grabbing and pinching at my body, trying to get me up at the ground. This sounds like the game we used to play on the bus in high school, where you run through the seats on the bus and you have to make it to the back, and everyone is punching you and fucking grabbing you, and you win once you get to the back door and you touch the exit door on the bus. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like everyone was doing that and taking turns doing that, and then it just happened to be a Travis Scott concert. It sounds like the the fighting was first and Travis was second. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucked up. This event appeared to be one of the deadliest crowd control disasters at a concert in the United States in many years. Similar episodes have occurred at venues around the world during performances of all genres of music, including a electronic music festival at which 18 people were trapped and crushed, and a 1979 Who concert in Cincinnati, where 11 people died as concertgoers rushed the entrance. But the deaths in Houston had a particularly devastating impact at a time when the rapture of live events was being felt following the months of pandemic restriction. So that's also that I can't imagine. I can't imagine because I was in solo quarantine, but that had to have added to the energy and the physical pushing and pulling and grab is that people, a lot of these people, I'm guessing this was their first concert in a year and a half. And it was a 2-day Travis Scott festival with 50,000 people in attendance. That's like not working out for 18 months and then going into the gym and trying to deadlift 400 pounds. You want to work your way up first. You want to start with, you know, maybe a nice casual concert at a bar or a club. I just came back from New Orleans and, you know, sitting at a jazz bar, just listening to a band is a nice way to work your way up and get in those reps first and build up the tolerance. You want to go to a place and enjoy music and just try to get back to your normal life, any sense of normalcy. And then, you know, you work your way up to a theater show. Maybe you hit Terminal 5 in the city, see Chelsea Cutler. Then maybe, you know, you hop over to the Best Buy Theater And then only then, when you've built up a tolerance and you're used to being around people again, then do you go to the festival. And I, you know, obviously I'm joking. You don't have to build up reps when you are going to a concert, but also, would as many people have died if people were just used to going to concerts during the pandemic? I feel like everyone was just ready to go fucking crazy. You call your dealer. This is the first time we're doing Molly in 18 months. This is the first time we're doing coke in 18 months. We're getting fucked the fuck up. And this is our shot to go out and lose our fucking minds. And so I definitely feel like the pandemic fed into that. Young people with bright futures. Those were the people who were at the event. I mean, not totally true. I'm sure a lot of people at the event had bright futures, but most people, you know, there's a lot of people that don't, that go to concerts. I run into people all the time where I think this person should not have a job. And I don't mean this person doesn't have the right to have a job. I just mean, like, this is the reason. I meet people at concerts and festivals sometimes, and I think this is the reason why we have UBI, so people like this can stay home, get a paycheck, they don't have to work, which is, you know, it makes room for the rest of the people who have the skills and competence to hold down a job. And there are a lot of young people with dull, very unexciting, just shitty futures in front of them. And there's nothing wrong with that. And also, I don't consider myself someone that has a particularly bright future. I came from a good background, had a good family, grew up in Long Island, very privileged. But I'm also, you know, I'm making a living and attempting to eventually become a full-time podcaster, podcast producer, produce my own shows and help people do that. And there's no guarantee that it'll work out. I don't have a particularly bright future, so I might be working some 9-to-5 the rest of my life that I don't really like and doing podcasts on the side. And, you know, that's fine. And that might also be my brightest future. That could also be a bright future. But there are a lot of people to say that young people with bright futures were the ones who are at the event. I think it's also kind of when tragedy happens, we want to remember people at their best, and everything gets brushed over with this lens of positivity. You know, like, you never hear about people that die that were pieces of shit. No one ever goes up to their aunt's funeral and says, you know, Aunt Greta, you know, she was at best an okay person, most of the time a piece of shit. You never hear things like that. It's always, you know, like, she'll be missed so much. She did all these positive things in her life, which was like the three. It's kind of like when I die, people will bring up the three volunteer events I did in high school that were made to look good on my resume for applying to college. And it's like every time someone dies, the only things that people talk about are those things. Like, it's like people start speaking about you like you're applying to college again. They're like, yeah, he volunteered twice a week helping disabled people play baseball. He was at a soup kitchen on Thursdays. He was helping homeless people inject drugs on the street. They couldn't do it for themselves. A lot of disabled homeless people, you know, they were trying to inject black tar heroin and they weren't able to. And so this person actually went around and helped homeless people do drugs. And in reality, that happened a few times. I don't volunteer nearly as much as I should. But yeah, not that these kids or the people at the concert were pieces of shit that were there. I'm just saying it's something that happens. People just paint broad strokes. Young people with bright futures. Because a lot of times people don't have bright futures, and that shit gets exaggerated. So Harris, the top executive for Harris County, Lina Hidalgo, she and other officials at an afternoon news conference struggled to explain what had taken place the night before. Perhaps the plans were inadequate. Perhaps the plans were good, but they weren't followed. It was something else entirely. All right. Da-da-da. In video of the concert. Okay, so let's get into the videos of the concert. So I'm going to play some of these videos on Riverside. Hopefully this works out. If you're watching the video on YouTube, it means it worked. I'm testing this out for the first time. It allows me to play videos through the app. So this first video is Travis Scott watching a fan or seeing an ambulance, and this is his reaction to seeing an ambulance at the concert. So I'm going to take out my headphones, one of them, for a sec, so I can listen to this through my computer, because I'm plugged into the recorder. I got the recorder here, computer here, so let's see. Bring this up. So let's go live.
Is that? If everybody could put a middle finger up in the sky.
So it's Travis Scott saying, if everyone feels good, put a middle finger up in the sky. There's an ambulance in the crowd if you're listening to this. So Travis Scott is looking out into the crowd. There's blue and red lights flashing. This is an obvious ambulance or some sort of, official police, hospital, fire department vehicle. And he says, you know, if you're feeling good, put a middle finger up in the sky. People are yelling, Travis, Travis, Travis. People are coming out on the stage trying to get his attention.
Two hands to the sky.
Two hands up. Yeah, two hands up.
Now he's saying, put two hands up in the sky if you're good.
Y'all know what y'all came to do. Chase me. Let's go. Whoa. I'm going to make this motherfucking ground shake, goddammit. Whoa. Here we go. Whoa. Here we go.
All right. So Travis Scott, you know, he sees the ambulance. And he says, put a middle finger up in the sky if you're good. After seeing an ambulance in the middle of the crowd. Again, this was not something going on the side at a festival. Like, I've seen official vehicles before at festivals. There are tons of them. And never have I seen one drive through a cloud. Drive through a cloud. That would be fucking awesome. Drive through the crowd. Travis Scott is looking. He has the best vantage point. He's on the stage. There's an ambulance in the crowd, surrounded by people. There's no question that this ambulance is in the middle of the crowd. And he says, hey, 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 if you're good, put a middle finger up in the sky. Imagine if that's how EMTs asked if people were okay. Imagine if, to judge whether or not people were okay, EMTs were like, yo, 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 if everyone's good, put a middle finger up in the sky. Yo, if you're good, put that motherfucking middle. Like, an EMT walks into a school shooting, there's an active shooter, just fucking bodies lying all over the hallway, people screaming. And the EMTs, instead of going in, into the school, or like police, instead of going into the school, they just crack open the door a little bit. And they're like, yo, if you guys are good, put a middle finger up in the sky. And they see like one kid like kind of raise his hand, bleeding out. It's just like he's bleeding profusely. And it's a shitty, it's a horrible, it's an active shooter situation. And the cop is standing in the door. Watching a shooter just mow down the kids with bright futures. And the cop's like, hey, hey, it's like, hey, hey, are you good? Are you good? It looks like you were shot through the head. Not if you're good. Put a middle finger up in the sky. No. Stop screaming for help. Stop screaming for help. No, don't call your mom. Stop calling for your mom. She's not going to help you. If you're good, put a middle finger up in the sky. In the sky. No. That's not high enough. I don't care if you're shot three times in the bicep. If your tendon's been completely ruptured, get that middle finger up in the fucking sky and chase me. And like, how fucking ridiculous is that? You see an ambulance. By the way, I'm a huge fan of Travis Scott's music. I have no idea what he's like as a person. And no way do I think this is entirely Travis Scott's fault. But this was a great opportunity as a performer to see an ambulance in the middle of the fucking crowd. Again, not adjacent to the crowd, not circling the crowd, but like in the crowd, like this ambulance bought a seat at his concert. He could have said something along the lines of, stop the music, please make room around the ambulance. We're stopping the concert until we at least move these people dying and already dead. Clear path for all EMT workers. He could have said so many things. And again, I think this may already exist, but I think there should be some type of training for performers when they suspect something is going on in the crowd. You should, have some sort of protocol as a performer. You're the one with the mic. You're the one with the power. Everyone is looking at you. If you suspect that something is going on in the crowd, first of all, there should be someone in your ear. You should be able to, like, someone should be able to tap into Scott's headphones and say, hey, there are fucking dead kids on the ground being trampled over, kids that are dying. EMTs can't get in. No one can get help. Like, stop the fucking music. You should have someone whose job it is to surveil the crowd that is also has access to talk to the performer when they need to. Especially at a fucking festival with 50,000 people. How could you not do that? I mean, we do that at much smaller gatherings. When there's a public official or something and there's a few thousand people in a crowd, there are people whose job it is to just watch the crowd and see if anything is sketchy going on. So why is that not something that happens at concerts when you have people putting themselves in situations where you're fucked up, you're going crazy, things are going to happen? And so to me, that was a pivotal moment where Travis Scott could have stopped the concert. And instead, he did, fucking some ridiculous thing. Put your middle finger up if you're good, which, you can't tell if people are good. Like, the thing is, if someone is hurt at a concert or someone's hurt at a festival with 50,000 people, most people, 49,800 of those people don't know what's going on. So if you as a performer tell the crowd, put your middle finger up if you're good, you're going to see almost everyone's middle finger and hands go up in the sky. And then you think, okay, everyone's good. But in reality, there's 200 people that need help that you're actually blocking them by putting your arms up, and you can see worse now. And so that is a fucking horrible way to judge the state of a crowd, is to ask the crowd. You need someone whose job it is, probably multiple people with a crowd this size, just to look and surveil and have an artist protocol before every artist performs in front of a crowd of 2,000 or more people. There should be a protocol of what the artist says, what the artist does if they suspect someone is passed out in the crowd, beyond the point of just too drunk, but like something is physically wrong and people are getting hurt and possibly dying. So there should be some sort of protocol for that. This next video is Travis Scott watching a fan passed out. I'm just going to drag this in real quick. So this is Travis Scott watching a fan passed out, and he's kind of singing, which is weird. This is a very weird clip, like almost demonic in a sense. It feels almost like a satanic ritual in a way, watching this clip. So I'll play it. Wait, let me so I can hear this. Put on my other headphones. So here's a clip of Travis singing as he's watching someone being taken out on a stretcher. So if you're watching this, if you're listening to this and you can't see, so Travis Scott is standing above the stage. It looks like he's on some high riser thing. So he's even above the stage and he's staring right at a kid who's being carried away by people in yellow jackets that are clearly either some sort of paramedic or venue worker. Travis Scott he's doing like that Kid Cudi hum as he's watching someone who may be fucking dead. I don't know if this kid survived. And he's just kind of like keeping the concert going, providing ambiance music as people are dying. He's like, yeah, through the late night. Oh yeah, ascend into the light. Yeah. Like the last thing this kid might have heard is the Travis Scott hum, which, you know, it's not a bad way to go out. But let me play that one more time, because it is really fucking weird. Travis Scott is on top of a pillar. He's like above, he's like 30 feet above it, watching a kid be carried out unconscious by EMT workers, and he's staring. There's no question that Scott sees this kid, because he's angled right at the kid, and he's like buying time by singing instead of yelling at people like, yo, clear fucking path, stop the music, let's get these people help. Like, I don't understand what is going through his head at this moment, where keeping the show alive, like he's literally doing anything to keep the show alive. He's humming into the mic as lifeless bodies are being carried through the crowd. You know what, like this is it's like the bystander effect, but for the performers and the crew. Why did they not cut his mic, or why did someone from the crew not take his mic away from him and say, hey, sorry, Travis, but people are fucking dead in the crowd right now, so we're cutting you off. Why was no one concerned for life? And I understand that when people gather together, you're more subject to the bystander effect, and no one wants to be the one to stop a show for a dumb reason. But clearly, there's an ambulance in the crowd. You're looking at someone being carried out. You know, Kylie Jenner's posting stories with ambulances in them. Like, this looks more like a war zone than a fucking concert. How do you not stop this and just chalk it up and be like, you know what? We weren't prepared for this. And, you know, maybe I make a little bit less money tonight. I probably would have made the same thing anyway. People already brought the tickets, and let's get these people some help. Again, this is why we need protocols for performance artists, because when there is no protocol or routine, you fall back onto just whatever your instincts are. And apparently Travis Scott's instincts when watching someone be carried lifelessly through one of his concerts is to sing into the mic. How hilarious would that be if Travis Scott just started showing up at burning buildings around the United States, and firefighters were coming in, they're carrying out people who are being burnt alive, and you know, as that person's screaming, Travis Scott just gets on the mic and he's like, yo, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah. And people are like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm providing an ambiance for people burning alive. And he's just like, Travis, like, are you, you know, there are other things you can do to help. You can become involved in the situation. You can offer help. You can, you know, you're rich as fuck. You can donate money. He's like, no, the power's in my voice. I'm going to bring him back to life. I wonder if he thought that. I wonder if Travis Scott thought he was raising this kid who was almost dead or possibly dead at this time. I wonder if he thought he was raising this kid back to life with his voice. That maybe that's how disconnected performing artists have become. That this whole time, Travis Scott was actually helping. He thought he was actually helping the crowd by continuing to go because he thought his music was the actual cure and bringing people back to a state of consciousness. I don't know. I mean, how do you look at a dead kid and just fucking hum? Like people are, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong too. Maybe he didn't see any of this as clearly as the video depicted, because I'm going off videos on Twitter that went viral, but it certainly looks like he's looking at some kid being carried out and humming, kind of like keeping the music going, almost like an intermission. Like it's like a hum funeral intermission, like he's sending this kid off to a higher place with his voice. Just like, yeah. Everyone's just screaming in the back, like, oh my fucking God, I can't feel my face. Yeah. He's dead. He's fucking dead. Yeah. Oh, come to me. Yeah. I'm burning alive. Oh, my fucking God. Yeah, I don't know. So the last video that I saw, she actually goes up on stage and yells at Scott to stop the show. So, or not at Scott, sorry, the camera guy. So let's watch this. There's someone dead. There's someone dead down there. And Travis Scott just like goes into it. Like, I love how she's like, someone's dead, and then the next song just starts. It's like that was the intro to the song. At the next album Travis Scott drops, you're just gonna hear before song drops, like, someone's dead. Someone's dead, yeah. Someone's dead. Like this girl and another guy climbs up the ladder and they're both screaming at a camera guy who, in his defense, has ear mufflers on. So I have no idea if he knows what's happening. But clearly, you know, something is wrong. Something is very wrong. And again, they don't look drunk at all. These aren't, you know, drunk people that got on stage. They're climbing up a ladder towards the cameraman and other crew in a very, you know, coherent, energetic, aggressive, assertive manner, screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, people are dead. I don't know. I mean, this whole incident is tragic as fuck. And if this thing goes like everything else goes, then we'll learn nothing from it and people will forget about it in 2 weeks and just keep doing the same shit. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is happening. So yes, again, if you wanna check out that article, it's called No Way Out, A Sudden Life and Death Struggle at a Houston Concert. No Way Out, A Sudden Life and Death Struggle at a Houston Concert. Okay. So the next thing and the last thing I want to get into, because we're at 45 minutes right now. I want to get into a situation that happened on a train a couple weeks ago. It's probably a week ago. I was on the Long Island Railroad going from Atlantic Terminal to Hicksville. Transfer at Jamaica for all of you Long Island Railroaders out there. And let me just get rid of this screen one sec. All right, so I was on the Long Island Railroad about a week ago, and I thought I thought I was experiencing a fight breaking out on the train, and this is what happened. So I walked into the train. I had my headphones on. I was listening to a podcast, like usual, trying to learn, trying to, you know, get better every day. I think I was listening to Ari Shaffir go on a rant about Skankfest. So that was how I was bettering myself. I was listening to Skankfest, which sounds dope, and it's an event that I'd like to go to one day. So I was listening to the podcast. I got on the train, and I hear this dull thud a couple times. Not enough for me to stop the podcast, but I was like, oh, okay. Like, I noticed it. I didn't think it was weird, but I noticed it. And then it started to get louder and louder and louder to the point where I stopped the podcast, took off my headphones, and I looked up, and for about 15 to 30 seconds, I was just listening, trying to figure out what was going on. And it sounded like someone was getting their ass kicked in the next car. So I was in the middle of one of the cars. There were about 15 more rows in front of me, then a bathroom, and then the next car started. And the door was open to the next car, and it sounded like punching, like it sounded like thuds against the train, someone getting their ass kicked. And I thought to myself, well, that's not good. First of all, someone should probably call a police officer or get the attention of a police officer that is around, because there are a lot in Atlantic Terminal. And you know, is this fight gonna carry over into my train? Does this person have weapons? Like, do they have a knife on the train, gun? Like, I don't fucking know. There's two guys that sound like they're beating the shit out of each other. Also, is there anything I can do? And I didn't have any plans to intervene if it was a fight. What I probably would have done is call someone over, like a police officer who's more equipped to handle it. If it's just two guys fighting, there's no reason, I thought, to get in the middle of that. So I packed up my shit and started to get off the train, like got up. And then as I was getting up and I was going to go out the back entrance of the car and kind of circle back around to the car in front of me so I could see more accurately what was going on. Because again, I didn't see it. I just heard these pounding noises, which sounded like the train over, the car over. Right, and as I was getting up, a policeman, or two policemen actually, came into the car. And instead of paying attention to the car in front of me, they actually got onto my car, but were looking at the bathroom. So the bathroom, you know, if you've ever been on the LIRR, there are some cars with bathrooms, and the bathrooms are at the end. So I was sitting in the middle of my car, and the bathroom is at the end of my car in front of me. And so I thought the fight was past the bathroom in the next car, and I just couldn't see it. But the police actually started knocking on the bathroom and said, come out, come out, come out. And the pounding kept getting louder. Like, it sounded like people were just like banging against the door, and you could hear some voices. And I still had no idea what the fuck was going on. I was like, is there some guy, you know, that is high as fuck, you know, beating the shit out of someone else or himself? Is he just banging his head against the wall? That's what I thought. It sounded like someone banging their head against the bathroom door. And then The police, by the way, they were there for a minute saying, like, get out, get out, get out. And they were kind of laughing. And I was like, that's weird. Like, the police officers are laughing to each other. And it seemed like this was something that they may have dealt with before. And so eventually the door opens up. Two guys get out. A black guy and a white guy that looked around younger than me, so around 19, 20, 21 years old maybe. One of them was pulling up his pants. The white guy was pulling up his pants as he got out. The black guy just got out. And it became apparent to me that I think these guys were fucking each other in the train. And so what I thought was a street fight of some dude pounding the shit out of another dude actually turned out not to be that inaccurate, that some dude was indeed pounding the shit out of another dude. And the police officers kept laughing. They weren't really laughing, but you could tell they had like smirks on their face. And this was not the first time they got two guys out of the train who were fucking. They clearly had some calls about homeless guys fucking each other. And again, I don't know if these people were homeless. It's hard to tell in Brooklyn because people dress like they're homeless that are worth $10 million. And, you know, some people that are worth nothing spend all their money on clothes. So, like, I'm not going to say they were homeless. They looked relatively clean. Definitely were on some sort of speed or meth or coke because they were just like so talkative and then talking to police officers like, yeah, I got to get on this next train. I got to get on this next train. I need to get to Ronkonkoma. And the policeman was like, dude, you're not getting on this train. You just traumatize these people, getting your ass fucked. there's like kids on this train too. And, you know, not that kids can't handle gay sex, but like, you know, don't get railed out loudly in the middle of a train when it's stopped and you're trying to get somewhere. So that was the kind of what I took away from this, is that if you're going to get your ass fucked on a train, do it quietly so that you're not disturbing other people, because then no one would have known. The police wouldn't have been called. There would have been any noise, and it would have just been two guys calmly getting out of the bathroom and then going back to their seats, which would have been absolutely fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with sex on public transportation, like a plane or a train, as long as you are not visible to other people and you're going about it in a respectable manner. And these two gay guys were not respectable. And I did not appreciate that. And they, neither did the other passengers, but it was an experience. And this was what I was thinking about after the incident. So after the incident, I was thinking about, okay, what if this was originally what I thought it was, which was two guys fighting, one guy beating the shit out of another guy. When is it okay, or when, not when is it okay, but when should a guy step into a street fight? When do you make it your business as a guy? You know, I have a background in lifting for baseball, relatively strong for my size. I'm 5'11", 6 feet, fluctuate between 175 and 180. You know, I've been squatting and deadlifting my entire life for baseball lifting. So I'm a lighter now, about 10 to 15 pounds lighter now than when I was playing baseball. But still, I'd say I'm above average strength for my size. And I have about a year, maybe a little bit over a year of practicing Muay Thai. So I know that I'm still a baby in Muay Thai standards. I'm only a year in, but I know the fundamentals. I know how to throw those eight limbs. You know what I'm saying? I could throw a bow. I could throw a knee. Feel pretty confident in sparring sessions. You know, playing around a little bit. Never been in a sanctioned fight, but I feel like I'm coming into my own in sparring. But my question, and maybe you could comment this or DM me your answer, if you have experience fighting, if you've fought in sanctioned fights, or you have more experience breaking up fights, maybe you're a bouncer, security guard. When should you step into a street fight? Like, when is it your duty to step into a street fight? Because I don't know what I would have done. If it was one guy beating the shit out of another guy, one-on-one, my thinking is, it's not my problem. These two guys are fighting. I would call the police or get a policeman's attention if it's in somewhere like a train station, airport, where there are police all over the place and they can take care of it. I don't want to put my life in danger. I don't know what I'm getting into. I have no fucking clue how this started. So one-on-one guy, I would say absolutely not. I'm calling someone over, like a police officer or security guard, to handle it, and I'm staying as far back away as I can. It is not my job to step into a one-on-one street fight. If, however, one of them is like stomping on the dude's skull or just kicking him and he looks unconscious, maybe I would say something like, dude, I think it's over, or I think you won. And hopefully, or say I called the police or something like that. Like, I would say I'm calling the police, and hopefully that would get that person to stop. And then, so one-on-one, I would think, you know, there's never a reason for me to get on a one-on-one fight between two guys, a guy and a female. Maybe I would be more likely to step in if it was a guy beating the shit out of his, you know, wife or girlfriend, and clearly she was at a disadvantage. But again, what happens if the wife is pissed off at me for stepping in the middle of it, and she's like, yo, don't get in the middle of our business, and I get stabbed from behind? Or maybe the guy has a knife or a gun. I don't know what people have on them. So that was also running through my head before the police officers get on the train. It's like, what if I get in the middle of this fight and I get stabbed? Is it really worth it to stop a fight? I would say, you know, 2-on-1s, 3-on-1s, like, or gang, like fucking gang fights, like 3-on-3, 4-on-4. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not stepping in the middle of that shit. That's a fucking, you're stepping into a Travis Scott concert. That's literally what some fights are. It's like you're stepping into a Travis Scott concert. A lot of times people are drunk, especially in fights with a lot of people. You never know who's for who, especially if you didn't see the fight start. If you didn't see the beginning of the fight, you really have no idea what the fuck is going on. Like, you could see a guy beating the shit out of another guy, but maybe that guy tried to come out of nowhere and sucker punch that dude first. And so, understandably, the guy was like, fuck this, I'm going to put you in the fucking ground. And, you know, you don't know. Unless you see a fight transpire from the beginning, you really are guessing at the situation. So yeah, if anyone with fighting experience, who, you know, it's either your job to break up fights, or you have experience in breaking up fights, or you've seen breaking up street fights go absolutely wrong, or maybe you've had success breaking up street fights, and ideally you also have some sort of training in jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai, judo, something to help defend yourself. When do you know to step into a street fight? Because chances are I'll probably see a few more of these in my lifetime. And I would like someone's opinion who is more qualified than me to let me know, you know, when is the right time to step in? When is the situation guy on girl, guy on guy, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, 3-on-3? Like, what if you didn't see the beginning of the fight? The two most concerning variables to me are not knowing if one or both or all people involved have weapons, knives or guns that are easily concealable. Also, not seeing the beginning of a fight. So maybe it's over something like drugs or betting. One person owes the other person a lot of money, and you're not just stepping into a fight, you're stepping into someone's livelihood, and they fucking kill you, beat the shit out of you, because why do they give a fuck about you and your life? And I would say third, I'd be worried about everyone in the fight turning against me. Like I said, maybe a guy's arguing with his wife and fucking slaps her and hits her. But in a lot of those situations, the wife is also supportive of the guy. So maybe you step in and hit the guy or do something to him, and the wife comes back and fucking strangles you from behind, and you're now getting your ass kicked by an angry guy and his angry wife who may or may not have weapons. So I don't know. I'm not looking for a one size fits all answer, because again, I have no fucking clue. Not that I have no clue, but there's a lot of variables, and each situation deserves its own breakdown and instinctual kind of like instinctual on the spot taking in the situation and going, okay, this is what's going on. There's not going to be a one size fits all answer. Like, definitely step into this if it's a street fight, and don't step into this. There's going to be different things you can do for different situations. So I completely understand that. Let me know if you have any experience. When should you step into a street fight? When should you not step into a street fight? I'd love to hear some people's opinions. There's been a lot of fighting. The main theme of this podcast has definitely been fighting and people dying tragically. And one thing is for sure, that someone should have stepped in much, much sooner for the Travis Scott concert. That someone who... And it's unfortunate, because there were a lot of people who stepped up in the crowd that were trying anything to get attention over the loudness and the speakers and the hecticness and Travis Scott and his crew and his team continuing the concert. There were a lot of people who were trying anything desperately to, like, scream at the top of their lungs, wave their hands, climb up onto stage and tell people there are people fucking dead in this crowd. So it's unfortunate that the people... that should have been looking out for danger, and the people that had the power to draw attention to the people dying did not rise to the same level that some people did in the crowd. Some people in the crowd were, you know, responded beautifully, and they didn't have a microphone. They didn't have what was necessary to help people. They needed paramedics sooner, and they needed Travis Scott to stop the concert and do whatever he had to do and follow some sort of protocol to get these people help. And that did not happen. And again, I'm just one person, like I said, reading an article on the spot, giving my opinion, watching footage of what happened. And you may have a different opinion on the situation, and that's okay. And so, yeah, I want to leave this on a brighter note, which is I'm hopeful for the future of concerts. I'm hopeful for the future of festivals. The positive note is that it's good that concerts are coming back. I was just at GovBall a few weeks ago. I fucking love concerts. And we definitely need some more structure in the way that festival response is handled, because it failed miserably in this situation. But I'm hopeful for the future. You know, I'm excited to go to more live events. I'm going to a stand-up comedy show this weekend in Tysons, Virginia to see Taylor Tomlinson. I'm sure I'm going to go to more concerts over the winter and the spring. I will definitely check out some more festivals. And so and also I want to make the point that I love Travis Scott's music. I have the Astroworld album cover hanging in my room, and his music has given me great joy, and great, you know, good times. I've gotten fucked up, gotten high, worked out. I've done everything to Travis Scott. Unfortunately, I've never been in a situation like the one that was at the Astroworld Festival, and so. I don't know. I don't know exactly what he saw. Only he knows what he saw, what he could have done. This is speculation. I'm looking forward to concerts. I hope everyone else is safely taking advantage of concerts and live events too. It sucks that this happened, but and I'm also excited for the future. I want the right things to be put in place so that this doesn't happen again and that people can go to festivals more safely. And thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode. Again, I appreciate it. I appreciate you tuning in. If you're still listening to this an hour and 5 minutes in, you are fucking amazing. You're an all-star. You can also become an Auxoro Premium subscriber if you like. I put bonus episodes up every month. 3+ hours of episodes released every month, found nowhere else but Auxoro Premium. Go to auxoro.supercast.tech to check it out. And I put up one extra solo per month. And then I also put up a bonus conversation on the Aux. And we talk about things like the COVID lab leak. I'm putting up one right now. That is on ayahuasca. Just recorded one on ayahuasca that is now out live on the Aux. I also recorded, I'm about to record one on the Dark Knight. We have the obesity epidemic up there. We have the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, the rise of Tim Dillon, Bruce Lee, CBD, just like any topic that's interesting. We take a week to dive into it and I talk about it with my brother, my friends, others, anyone who wants to talk about a topic with me and do some research and have an exciting discussion. So if you guys want those extra episodes, go to auxoro.supercast.com. Link in the description, wherever you're watching this or listening to this. And have a beautiful day. I will talk to you guys next time.